All right, we are here. We are Galexis, and welcome. Today, we are going to clear terror and rage. Terror and rage come together like a pair. They're a team. They generally show up in your life at times that you would suspect to be unpredictable. But they do show up when you grow, when you expand your awareness of yourself, when you become more. Because every time that you grow, you bust limitations that you have been previously limited, living within, and as you bust those limitations, you move more and more beyond what we call the collective or the consensus or mainstream way of thinking and doing. Part of your mission, indeed the major part of it, is for you to find that road, that pathway into that new territory of consciousness, beyond mere linear three-dimensional type of thinking and doing, into fourth, fifth, sixth, and indeed even seventh dimension activity, to explore the greater part of you, to understand more of who you are, and to apply your conscious awareness into changing the way you function in your daily life, the way you function in your world, and indeed from there, in a sense, to realign, reprogram, and awaken your whole planetary system. I mean, when we say planetary system, we are referring to more than this one planet you're on. That you have reached a higher level of evolution and therefore can take your place within the galaxy, within the universe, on a new stage, on a new platform of consciousness. Some of you have come to be what we call the first wavers, those who are the first wave of consciousness, who are the ones who are busting out of their boxes, busting out of the limitations of three-dimensional thinking, busting free. You're not just doing it for you, yet that is, as we said, a greater part of your work, your mission, your choice, was to realize who you are. And in so doing, you cannot live within the collective or the consensus limitations that you grew up in, or that were given to you, and you were assumed to follow until death. No, you're also doing this work for the world. You're doing this work for your consensus reality, because at this time of chaos, the times of change, all those people who are lost and floundering, they need inspiration. Now, indeed, you, as first wavers, have chosen to plunge through this chaos and come out on the other end first. There's no templates there for you. There's nobody on the other side saying, here's exactly, you know, how it's done and so on. In a sense, as a group, as a network, you're moving there together. And so there are times when you, yourself, feel that you are lost, and feel that perhaps you don't know where to go next. But you continue, nevertheless, to grow, to learn, to become more, to create, to imagine, to dream, to expand who you are, and to reach out, to become more than you, to touch others, to love, touch, and heal. The expression of the divine, it drives you. You cannot help it. It's part of your nature. So you will grow. You will emerge. You will come out of the chaos on the other side. And those in the world will turn to you for inspiration. Because they don't know. They're not the first wavers. You are. You're saying, look, here's one way to do it. The one way I have found out. You know, if you find somebody who knows how to be successful in certain area, or who is very conscious and very aware, and you go and stay with them and sit in their presence and listen to them, hear their story, it can give you inspiration. And you go, oh yeah, you know, that might apply to me. Oh, I can try that. Yes, that might be a good idea. Part of the reason that we are speaking with you is to help you through this particular process. Because we are on the other side of it. We see, in a sense, where you're going, where you're headed. And that way we can say, hey, over here, over, look over this way. Consider this possibility. Because you don't have mentors in your physical plane of people who are fully established on the other side. You do have some leaders who have busted through walls and saying, hey, look at where we're going. It's very bright over here. Come this way. But you're going to also do that for others. As you get more and more healthy, spiritually speaking, and probably physically as well, on the other side of the box, busted out of the box, free of the consensus reality limitation, out of your prisons, shackles are busted, the shackles of belief and limiting concept and small self-image. You get into a place you've never been before. Oh yeah, in other lifetimes, on other planets, in other systems, you've explored other dimensions, and there's parts of you that are very comfortable with this sixth dimension and so on. But not as a physical being. That's the difference. You wanted to experience it in a physical body. It's easy enough to do it, not in a body, but you decided, physical body, yes, this is a unique experiment, I want to do it. And you'll find yourself in this void. And in this void, as you leave the comfortable, familiar limitations of the consensus, you will encounter terror and rage. They are the guardians. Every time you grow, every time you expand, and you become different, every time you change, terror and rage. Every time the world, the society, goes through profound shifts and changes, terror and rage. So, of course, it's very helpful if you know how to handle terror and rage, if you know what they are. And so that you can identify them. Because if you cannot identify them, when they show up, you will feel absolutely powerless to do anything about them. You won't have a clue. You could shrink back into a tiny self-image like that of a child, victimized. Or you could step into that familiar old rebel position. All right, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to resist it. Which really ultimately never works. So you want to have a technique, a strategy of response that comes from the adult, comes from your spiritual self. So that when you encounter these two, you say, oh, okay, I must be outside the box. I must be changing. And to find terror and rage, you may not necessarily think of it as a good thing, right? It's really quite intense of a challenge when it shows up. But at least you'll know what to do. Now, you have three minds, M-I-N-D, mind. You have three of them. A conscious mind, the one that you are listening to us with, the one that you make your everyday mundane decisions, and the one that you wake up to in the morning and you go through your day in, and at night when you go to sleep, you leave. that conscious mind, attentive in the present moment, in the physical consciousness. It is here where you get your input from your reality and you encounter stuff and you respond, react, proact, where you activate your dreams, where you apply what you know in the illusion called the physical plane. You have a subconscious mind, which sometimes you're aware of, actually. It's becoming more and more as you grow and expand your awareness of yourself, you become more aware of it. The subconscious mind is a mind that maintains all your programs. It maintains your habits, your patterns. It maintains a consistency in your life so that you have a platform to move from, to move to something else. Because if you want to change, you have to change from something to something. And the consensus reality holds a certain opportunity for you in this particular lifetime to have a consistent reality, a consistent perception. For example, you wouldn't want to have to relearn every day how to go to the bathroom. That's a program. No, bathroom program. Automatic. Switch. Okay, I need to go to the bathroom. You know exactly what to do. You don't have to think about it. It's automatic. Same thing with preparing a sandwich or whatever you like to fix. Driving a car. All those kinds of things that you do as routines in your daily life is subconscious. Now, if you are aware of your emotional habits and patterns, are you aware, say, for example, that when you have a relationship, you tend to follow the same routines, the same patterns, the same unfoldments, and expect the same phases to occur? Part of the program, automatic program. There's people who automatically, when they get into a relationship, will change. Or they go into a relationship on good behavior, trying to be the perfect person, and find, well, phew, this is not working. And they go back to their routines, their habits. Anytime you find yourself in routines and habits, things that are automatic responses, they appear to be instinctive. They can appear to be natural. But this is part of your subconscious mind in action. And when you change a subconscious pattern, when you change a program, when you decide to do something differently, your subconscious mind says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's out of the box. That's not your usual habit. Okay, maybe you're going to do it once as a fluke, but not as a routine, because I, your subconscious mind, am very busy making sure that you stick to your routines so everything looks normal and safe and familiar and so on, and life is comfortable and unfolds in a kind of, you know, your usual manner. So when you do a lot of growing and changing, you get a little disturbance going on in your subconscious mind. What's this new pattern you're doing? And every time you change, there will be, as we have mentioned many times, and people conveniently tend to forget this, your subconscious will come up and say, now you've done this new pattern, this new habit, now two or three times, maybe four times. Are you sure you want to continue this? This is strange and different. This is not the you that I know. Are you sure you want to do this? Here's the usual old stimulus. Here's the old stuff that you always respond to in the old pattern. But see, now, with this stimulus now we're giving you the opportunity here to choose to go back to the old pattern. We want you to be aware that you have this choice. You want to go back to this old pattern, which is nice and comfortable and safe and familiar. The way you perceive this question from your subconscious is a challenge, is a stress, is a crisis perhaps. where it looks like the same old patterns, the same old crap is happening. You thought you'd grown past. You thought you'd made choices about that you'd step beyond. And so the tendency, if you're not careful, is to say, oh, I guess I didn't make it. I guess I didn't grow. Because, look, my reality is telling me that I'm still back here where I used to be. This is the same old stuff. And then you go back to your pattern and say, okay, yeah, all right, we'll go back to the old pattern. And it unfolds the way that you expect it to. However, you're in a position now to where you're growing so much that when that challenge comes, you can say, no, wait a minute, no, I have practiced this. I have made choices. I have explored all these possibilities, and I have chosen a new pattern. I've chosen a new way. So subconscious, we're going to do it this way now. And you don't fall back into your old reactions. You stay in your adult, you stay in your power, you stay in your love. You keep your self-image expanded. And when you respond that way, the subconscious says, oh, okay, well, I guess you're serious about this new pattern. All right, so I guess the new pattern it is. And your subconscious will shift to the new pattern. And we'll establish that as your habit. The process of growth is to continuously bust the old habits, patterns, and limitations, go to expanded realities, and then anchor yourself there for a while. And once you get kind of strong there, then you find whatever limitations are there, you expand further. This process goes on indefinitely. It will never end. So it's not really helpful to fight that process, but to go with it in an empowered way. But what really is the kicker for change is the unconscious mind. It's unconscious because indeed it is unconscious, and generally you don't even know what's in there. Your unconscious mind is the one that is connected to the collective, to the illusion of your physical plane reality. And it holds your beliefs. It holds all your energy field, your mission, your themes, everything that you work with in this lifetime. It is there. And what it tends to do is the unconscious mind will bring whatever it is you believe and expect to be true into physical manifestation. When you change your belief, when you change your choices, when you change your image of yourself, when you step outside of your child and adolescent and young adult selves, you step outside the consensus. The unconscious mind holds the collective belief in place. For example, there's a table here, we're on a chair. You believe that the physical plane is hard and real and tangible. Your unconscious mind holds this tangibility together. It's important that you have this level of consistency in your physical plane reality. But it is in the unconscious mind that anything you don't want to deal with in your conscious mind or in your subconscious mind will go down deep into the unconscious mind and be hidden. Anything you wish to hide goes there. Anything you don't want to think about goes there. Anything you put out of your conscious awareness you don't want to deal with goes there. So you've spent years through your childhood and your adolescence stashing all sorts of stuff in your unconscious mind. And you don't see it. until your beliefs are in crisis, until you push on the boundaries of your collective consciousness, part of your destiny, indeed, is to do that. When you do that, the collective consciousness holds within it, connected into astral plane. Now, we're not going to get into great detail with this. All the mechanisms to keep you in the collective, to keep you in the consensus, to keep you there. Now, how does it do it? As soon as you step free, all the stuff in the unconscious mind that is connected to the immature you has to come up to the surface to be released, because you have to change a belief about who you are and how you function in your world. And as you do any kind of change of belief about that, as you choose new beliefs, the collective consciousness, which anchors in the unconscious mind, will resist. Say, hey, no getting outside the collective boundaries. No getting outside the consensus. You're going to go insane out there. You're not allowed out there. It sends its police. Terror and rage. The guardians of the gate. Terror and rage. Now, terror you learn when you're a child. You learn that you are helpless, you're powerless, and what if you're abandoned? You'll be lost, hopelessly incapable of surviving. Now, this terror of abandonment, this fear of abandonment, is primal in every single human being. It comes from the original chosen by you disconnect from the union with God. God is all that is. You decided to get into separation so that you could find your uniqueness, so that you can expand and grow your unique self to be the greatest you that you can be. Part of your mission is that when you are there, the realization of your mission, in fact, is that you then re-merge with God. God is all that is. You return home to the Godhead. You return home to the oneness. But not as some little insignificant speck that just disappears into this ocean, like a molecule of water in the ocean. No. You have realized your divinity in this piece. So you are part of God. God is all that is, in your unique way. It was exciting for you to take this journey. You're coming towards the end of this journey. You're kind of excited. And you chose a lifetime at this point on the planet, when the opportunity was to step beyond the collective, which says only that which can be measured by the physical senses is real. To acknowledge that what is beyond the physicality is more real than what is in the physical. Those of you who've had experiences on the other side can testify that it's more real there than here, right? It's amazing. My, this feels really more intense, more real, more present, more full, more complete, more bright, more light, more huge, more... And then I come back to physical planets, feels kind of dull by comparison. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you see, the collective threatens you. Threatens you by saying, look, if you leave our beliefs, our attitudes, our ways of being, if you leave us, If you go out there and go off into fourth dimension, fifth dimension, explore more, then we don't like you. We're going to excommunicate you. And it threatens you with separation. It connects you right back to the childhood fear of abandonment, which is primal to that fear of separation from the divine. Terror is the fear that you're going to be separated, isolated, lonely, unloved, excommunicated, rejected. You're going to lose everything of value. You're going to become an insignificant nothing that no one will care about. That even God will abandon you. Even the divine will not care about you. And in that place, you'll be so powerless and so helpless, there'll be absolutely no resource for you. Nothing, nothing you can do. This terror is hidden in your unconscious mind. And every time you go through a big change, you hit the wall of terror because you're going outside everything that is familiar, everything that you thought was safe and predictable, and you're risking total separation, total lostness from the divine. Now, terror, the fear of terror is actually what the terror is about, not the terror itself. Generally, those of you who have experienced a terror recognize it only happens in, almost in a sense, microseconds. It's like there's suddenly a flash of absolute, total terror. And then somehow or another, it's over. And yes, you're afraid and you're stressed and your heart is beating and you're reacting and so on and so on. But you go into other response mechanisms. It's the fear of having to experience that. Experience the ultimate sense of separation that terror brings you. That makes it so scary. Terror is more about the future. What could possibly happen? If something's going really good, what is it? Murphy's Law, something bad's about to happen? It can't be too good for too long. You're threatening the gods. Something bad's going to happen. Terror is about the future. About a future without hope. A future without possibility. A place where you're powerless, unloved, frozen, and imprisoned. Terror is cold, very cold. And never, ever safe. Where so much of you could die. So much of you could be extinguished. That your light could never shine. It would be eternal darkness. So you can imagine how effective it was for the Christian church to threaten people with hell. Right? It was established during a time where people were making transitions from what you might call earth-based religions, being taken over by intimidators to be forced and rechanneled into the Christian religion, a situation of shame, a situation of where there was a punishment and an excommunication threat. On top of that is a mythology of the exclusion from the Garden of Eden, from the separation with the divine. And what was it? What was it that separated human beings from the divine? Well, Eve plucked that apple from what? The tree of knowledge. Great mythology, isn't it? Don't grow. Because if you grow, you'll be expelled from the safety. You'll be rejected by God and by all your friends, your culture. You'll die in hell forever and ever, suffering and torment forever and ever. Well, this gives everybody the heebie-jeebies. That's connected to that, you know. Oh, well, I got to toe the straight and narrow. Better go to church and give donations. You know? I have to bribe some priest. I have to light a candle. I have to beg a saint. Ask somebody to intercede for me. Because I'm so shameful. Because Eve took that apple of knowledge and God cast both Eve and Adam out of the garden. So, it's women's fault, right? Those women who just have to grow, who have to learn, have to expand, can't be satisfied with the status quo. The terror of the excommunication. The fear that somehow or another, if you grow, and you have to grow because that's your divine nature, that there's a punishment waiting for you. You're going to grow too far. You're going to be too big for your britches. You're going to be pulled back down. Something bad's going to happen to you. And because you're somehow bad, somehow stupid, somehow inadequate, somehow filled with shame and uselessness and whatever, you have to prove yourself. And you have to hope and pray and try and be a good person, sacrifice yourself, martyr yourself, etc., 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 and run, jump through all the hoops, or some kind of horrible tragedy is going to befall you. Suddenly, your closest loved one is going to die, or your child's going to be kidnapped. And found mutilated in a ditch. Why do you think the consensus reality loves the news media to tell you all the terrible things that can go wrong? How does that make you feel? You see, how does it intended to make you feel? Oh my God, any moment, my life will fall apart. Any moment, horrible things will happen. Any moment, I better be good. I better toe the line. I better try really hard. I better pray hard. Give a lot of money to the church. So terror, the threat of terror, rather, is in your daily life. All these horrible things that happen out there. Some of you have had them happen to you, too. Horrible things. Devastating things. But have you noticed, one way or another, you come out of it. You come out of the terror, maybe hard, there may be some struggle, there may be some suffering, but you come out of it one way or another. You cope. It's a threat of terror. It's a threat of that experience of total hopelessness. Puts you on the bottom of the pit. If you are connected to the divine, it won't get you. That doesn't mean there's a guarantee that tragedy will not befall you. But it does mean that you won't fall apart. You'll pull yourself together You'll be creative. You'll even use that for growing. You'll become more. Because you will at some point be able to step beyond making the illusion real, so much so that you can stay connected to the divine and not feel lost and alone and hopeless, helpless and powerless and hope and without any possibility of connection. The divine connection, the link back to home, to the oneness, is the antidote to terror. And what has the church, who's in a sense led the unconscious collective mind of everybody? Gosh, those scary dark ages, right? They were dark ages for a reason. There was a tremendous implanting in the human consciousness, in the human unconsciousness of terror. Why do you think they're on the, they reframed all the pagan ceremonies as devil worship, evil, and put gargoyles on the cathedrals to scare away negativity. Always feel that somehow or another you can be preyed upon by negativity. Can make you paranoid. Paranoia is one of those responses to wandering terror. But if you have connection to the other side, connection with spirit helpers, your higher self, to the divine itself, you have a pathway away and beyond the limitations of terror, and it can heal in your unconscious mind those places you've stashed your terror. You see, your unconscious mind, as part of your growth, puts little obstacles in your way. You don't see them until you hit them. They can be destructive, terrifying. That's why you can always be in fear that somehow or another it's not safe to do anything, not safe to create, not safe to take a risk. Oh, that concept about risk, you know. When you create your own reality, there really isn't any such thing. But you're terrorized to believe there is. Terrorized about your future. The dark stuff in the future. Oh, yeah, there can be good, nice, bright, beautiful stuff in the future. But when you are trying to adjust yourself and plan for the future, what do you normally go through? Everything that could go wrong. Let me avoid the terror. Let me feel safe and secure. Let me put together all my strategies so that if I hit a wall of terror, I'll know what to do. But you often don't spend nearly as much time imagining the future positively. And what you give your attention to becomes more powerful. As an adult, spiritual, empowered adult, you'll give much more attention to your future. And you'll give much more attention to your positive future. Because you'll be in choice. You'll choose more positive futures. You'll be less afraid of the negative ones. That's why we keep harping on being that adult now. Because in the adult, you've got the resources and you've got the connections. Terror is a bear. Terror shows up in your body. There are certain ways that it seeps out of the unconscious. Maybe you don't hit a wall of terror with some kind of grand event, dramatic event, but sometimes the terror just eats you up inside. It eats you up in certain ways. The way your body will manifest overloads of terror will be in extreme stress responses, nervousness, agitation, panic attacks. Your nervous system will be overstimulated, always overstimulated, difficulty sleeping, difficulty relaxing, always feeling driven. Yeah, the slave driver we talk about, that inner slave driver that keeps pushing and driving you, pushing more, more, more. The workaholic says if you keep really, really busy, you don't get so scared. Facing the void is just terrifying. What's in there? Everything's set up for you by your collective consciousness to feel limited, to feel restricted, and have your behavior modulated and modified by your terror. Feeling powerless like a child. You know, when you're a child and your mother goes out of the room, she could just have just as soon gone out of your life and disappeared forever. You know, some children that just as soon as they sense a separation, they will just wail. And then mommy comes back. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, okay. Oh, you know, nothing. Alarm's over. Okay. I thought you'd gone forever. You've forgotten that, but the imprint of that's down in your, inside yourself. That imprint of, oh, maybe I'm going to be abandoned forever. Look at your behavior. Is it modulated by terror? Terror shows up in your kidneys. Yeah, they say fear is part of kidneys, thematically. Terror is like a fear just taken to the greater octave, an octave that is collective rather than personal. Fear is personal. Terror is collective. Anything collective, anything on that scale is coming from the unconscious mind. Now, every time you create something beautiful, it comes to you through the unconscious mind. Every time you create something and manifest something sucky and irritating and yucky, it comes through the unconscious mind. So if you have a lot of stuff stashed in there, a lot of terror stashed in there, and lots of negative ideas and fears about the future, what is your belief? And what will manifest accordingly? If you think that you have connection to the divine, what will manifest? That. Connection. Resource. Safety. Other places that in your body, that this fear and terror and so forth come through, can come through in your skin with rashes, skin irritations. It can come through in imbalance in your hypothalamus and brain function. It can come in a loss of ego boundaries, a loss of sense of self, to where you feel that there are no boundaries, and therefore, who are you and where are you? In the void, it's good to do that, to get rid of ego boundaries. But it's also terrifying because there are many people who entered the void, got rid of their ego boundaries, stepped outside of the positive ego as well as the negative ego, and just simply found themselves in an unknown place. And they are now languishing in mental institutions and sitting homeless on the street because their brains don't function anymore correctly. They can't think. They can't perceive. Terror shuts down your psychic senses. It shuts down a great deal of your brain function. because all your brain function goes to survival and to nothing else. It drives your adrenal glands absolutely crazy until they collapse. Terror is not friendly to work with. Terror and rage. Rage is more aligned with the past. We're going to talk more about rage in the afternoon. But for now, rage is like the higher octave, the collective octave of anger. Anger is a passion that you have. And when you see things that happen, such as the damage that, let's say, chemical companies like Monsanto is doing to the environment, the sneaky laws that they're passing through to manipulate and control, the drug companies commandeering the only way to treat an illness is through drugs, radiation, surgery, whatever it is, standard medical practice. Nothing else is allowed, or we will attack. We'll throw you in jail as a charlatan. Those who control, manipulate, hurt, destroy, they create outrage in you. You could have terror that the military is going to enforce the vaccination program for everybody. Indeed, the channel and Daniel are watching TV only last night. And there's a website called vaccine.mil, M-I-L, or military. Interesting. Outrage is natural. Outrage at what others are doing is natural. But with it comes the terror. The terror comes first. That's child. Adolescent is more rage. The rebel, much more a rage response. But if you get terror and rage to get outrage mixed together, and you feel absolutely powerless, that'll go down into rage itself. It will go down into your unconscious. Why? Because you as an individual don't see that you have, because of the beliefs that you have about your own power, that you have much impact on these situations. You can feel powerless, pushed around. The anger about it, the outrage about it, has no channel, no outlet. Nothing you can do. Rage is about the shutdown process of your passion, of your outrage, and your frustrations and your anger shut down, pushed down. Because you really can't live your life if you're continuously, always in outrage and upset and passionate, whatever. Now, yeah, there's some people who make a good fortune, good money on that. They have radio shows, TV shows, whatever, where they are ranting and raving. And everybody else has rage and terror. And when these people are going at it, they say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And in a way, it's almost like that it's kind of helps, you know, move that energy. They say, at least we're together. At least we're not alone. But they still don't know how to deal with it. You can lose a sense of your personal sovereignty as a spiritual empowered being and live your life tiptoeing around hoping you don't make a mistake, hope you don't break a law or anything, so you could be attacked, you could be thrown in jail, you could be persecuted. Because you know you're too sensitive, you wouldn't handle it too well in jail. You know about the horrible things that go on in there. So let's be off the radar. Let's be invisible. But you see, this is just the time on the planet where it's time for you to become visible. Come step out there. Shine your light. Here I am, world. Terrible outrage. You see, you're not really natural and human if you don't have some outrage about something, though. Really, because just so many crazy things are happening. We're not saying that outrage is bad. Outrage is a good thing. It's important to be outraged about things that are outrageous in a negative way. But your response to it needs to be from the adult and not from the adolescent. A lot of this anger and this hopeless, helpless is focused at institutions. Like we mentioned, the medical system, the standard medical practice. There are many, many tales of people who go to doctors and get really screwed up. Screwed up worse. I went to a doctor to help, have the doctor help them with somebody, and these people end up far worse in chronic serious pain or something. It is outrageous. But it's like the medical system doesn't allow for the education, for the tree of knowledge, to be available to you for whatever else is right for you. If you notice, it's always around that tree of knowledge. It's still going on. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge. Be obedient. Be submissive. Be compliant. Stay in your box. Or else all hell's to pay. Institutions like the legal institution. If you've ever been at the negative receiving end, you might say, of lawyers and court cases and stuff like that. Oh, what an institution that is. A lot of outrage there. Can move into deep rage and terror there. And then there's things like, the government. That's kind of a even broader, higher octave of the legal establishment, government. And perhaps the most entrenched and most powerful institution there is religion. Do you get a freedom to practice worship in whatever way you choose? No, not at all. You're ridiculed, you're humiliated, you're attacked, you're persecuted throughout the centuries. It still continues today in other ways. The media will turn on you, make fun of you, absolutely discount you. That's no fun. Humiliation is absolutely devastating. A fear of humiliation, for sure. And you are subject to terror. At the same time, you're outraged that you can't be you. Because actually, the whole system of rage is suppression of your force, of your life force. The rage is that you're not allowed to be and express you. And that this you that you are is damaged anyway. Twisted, bad. This is natural to be angry about and feel rage about. If you have guilt, there's rage in there. It's all turned inside to shut yourself down. If you have enough terror, the rage deep down inside instead of bubbling and boiling, is frozen. And you become flat, emotionless. No passion. Passion gone. Try to just be even-tempered all the time. Live your life one step before the other. Because you never in your past got the message that it was ever safe to be you. That if you got powerful, you would hurt somebody, you would offend somebody, you create a problem. So don't be powerless. Keep to yourself. Hide. Stay off the radar. Well, frankly, if you're hiding and all, you're still on the radar. The only way to get off the radar is to take your personal sovereignty and step outside the radar. As long as you're in the consensus, bought into the hook, line, and sinker, into the consensus reality, into your box, you're in under the radar. You're under control. You have to step outside of it. We're going to do that today. We're going to step into a freedom, which you've experienced at times. And then when the terror and the rage showed up, you've hurried back and scuttled back into your box real fast. Is it safe? But whatever institution it is that you've had your issues with, philosophical or physical or, you know, like sports, that's also can be institutionalized. Look at academe. Look at universities. Look at how they institutionalize thought and all the politics there. The rage is that you can't think freely and act freely. You must be under the auspices of these institutions, that they control your life, to make you behave and look like everybody else so that you fit in and that you can be then accepted. And if you do it right, and just be a little bit brighter, maybe, and do it with more elegance, then you'll be approved of. Well, that sucks. And you know that. That's why you're here, listening to us, all right? And that's why you're just saying, all right, I believe that what is more important for me is to grow. I feel that tree of knowledge is more important for me. And I cannot turn my back on it. Eve, actually, if we translate it authentically, Eve actually initiated a whole social evolutionary growth in humankind. But is she rewarded for it? Nah. All humankind is punished for that. And especially women. We're going to get into that in the afternoon. We're going to talk about rage in your body, because that's where rage tends to spend most of its sick time. And in your relationships, in everything that matters emotionally to you, rage can twist it. But rage, overall, any time that you feel that suddenly, under any kind of circumstance, you're suddenly powerless, that your power was ripped away from you, taken away from you, and you have no options to take your power back, or you feel powerless and made impotent, you have rage. It's too painful to deal with, so you push it down into your unconscious. I don't want to deal with this. I can't deal with this. I don't want to think about it. Down it goes. Down, down, deep splash. Forming caches of rage. Bubbling hot rage or frozen rage down deep in the unconscious, keeping you numb, keeping you limited, keeping you with your blinders on. It's not terrifying to take your blinders off, dear ones. And you have to do it anyway. You got to. You came for this. You're not going to just come here and take on a physical body and go through all the crap that's involved there for nothing. Just to suffer? Nah. Don't believe the whole law of karma stuff. Oh, karma. Oh, life is about suffering. You want to lift beyond the body, the lowly body, and you want to go into samadhi. You want enlightenment. Because then you can leave this horrible earth and all that suffering and the cycle of birth and death and all that karma stuff, and you can be freed. But in the meantime, you better meditate, and you've got to keep your nose clean, and you've got to play within the rules, and you got to... And you can't make any new karmas. Oh, yeah, right. Don't act, right? Don't do anything. Just sit. India is filled with all sorts of people who decided, a lot of guys, lots of men, and they decide they're going to... They're not going to have any more shame. They're not going to be under control of the consensus and so on. They're going to have enlightenment. So what do? They go and sit by the Ganges and smoke ganja. So in other words, they're smoking pot and they're really high. Oh, how enlightened, right? That's cheap thrill, right? That's sanctioned. It's like, those are our crazy people, says that culture. That's our crazy people, And maybe they'll find enlightenment, and maybe they'll give us some good karma if they come by our house with a begging bowl and we give them some food. We'll get some good karma off of that. We'll get good points. A strange system indeed, but nevertheless, you have to recognize there is no karma. Life is not about suffering. Surprise! So you don't have to follow those rules and laws of karma. Freedom is ahead. What we're going to do now, though, is we're going to let this kind of sink into you. Think about it. We're going to take a break. And then after the break, you have questions. We will entertain those, and then we'll do a very neat terror rage release. Okay? Before lunch. All right. So we're taking a break now on 20 minutes? Something like 15 minutes, and we'll be back with you shortly.